Welcome to an episode of Kentucky Football Carpool Show. I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris.
Well, this is Tennessee Hate Week. Usually one of my favorite weeks. I don't know why it's my favorite week during football season, because it usually comes out in a disappointing result.
But it's never always a good thing.
Yeah, it's never a good thing. I love this. I wish this game was at the end of the season. I always liked it then, because it was always, you know, we don't have to get over it. We get the bad vibes at the end of the season. But again,
end of the season on a low note. I hear you.
yeah, no shit. But it was always like fun that way, because I was going back through these. Obviously, someone posted a picture about Rourke, and that's obviously the most iconic game for us as kids, because that was the first time we ever saw them win.
Yeah.
And that was the last game
really
of the season.
I was going to say, Nick, we were drunk at that game. Like,
yeah. I mean, I was drunk in high school too, but I was drunk in college.
You were legally drunk at that game.
Yeah, I was legally drunk at that one. Me and Chris went to the UofL UK one with Woodson, and they had Bush, and we were in high school and we were drunk. So, whatever. but I did miss it being at the end of the season, but obviously now it's not going to ever happen like that again. But this is a fun time for this rivalry, because obviously Kentucky's doesn't ever feel like they don't have a chance. Their talent's obviously a lot bigger. And actually, this is going to be one of the first years, probably in, I would say, 4 years, that they maybe don't have where I feel like Kentucky has a better team.
Yeah. They're double digit underdogs.
Yeah. And I'm not saying Kentucky definitely has talent. To beat a Tennessee and stuff like that. I mean, up to this point, we beat two top 25 teams, one on the road, one at home. but again, this is the first year where Tennessee is really, really good, and Kentucky is still, we're good. But, you know, it's like the last four, don't you feel like the last 4 years, Kentucky had the better team?
Yeah.
Probably 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So this year, that gap's been kind of leveled out. And this is kind of what, you know, Mauro talked about, and Coach Stoops about, you know, we're letting these teams buy their way back in to the East, and Tennessee has done just that. They got a very, very talented offense. Their defense is not very good, but that's because their offense puts stress on the defense, and the defense wants, and me and Mike were talking about this earlier, Tennessee's defense wants Kentucky to score quickly too. So it's a kind of unique thing there where Tennessee will load the box, dare you throw it. That's why they're pretty good at stopping the run, but they're terrible against the pass, because honestly, Tennessee will let you score in 10 seconds just so they get the ball back, because they feel like at the end of the day, in a shootout, they'll win.
I think Kentucky's coaches were pretty clear all week about that's what they want to avoid as well.
What were you saying, Mike? What Chris is saying is correct. I actually think last year's strategy was the correct strategy as far as the offensive side go. Obviously, the defense got absolutely destroyed last year, torched. They had the ball for under 14 minutes, and put up, what was it? I think the final score was 45-42.
Yeah.
So they put 45 points up. They scored two touchdowns. Me and Mike were at the game. They scored two touchdowns, literally back to back in like probably 10 seconds, I think, a total.
Yeah.
That's how the clock that happened. And Tennessee does a really unique job. I forget who it was, Jordan Rogers, someone was breaking down, I guess, our SEC network last week. And it was showing that Tennessee's offense or their whole offense philosophy, they're trying to get your best player away from you, from their good player. And they're trying to get mismatches. Obviously, everybody wants to get those mismatches. But Tennessee will run a couple plays to see what's your best player. So Alabama's best corner. They were trying not to throw to him, so they were trying to get him on the opposite side of the field of what they wanted to do. And so they would run a couple of plays to see what's he going to do, and then they would find that mismatch, and they would hammer that mismatch.
Yeah, I mean, we'll look at last year. They've got square on their best receiver a couple times.
They want to see what your defense, how they're motioning and switching off, and then so then eventually you're going to switch off, and you're going to be a receiver on a linebacker. It's a pretty unique offense. I mean, I think we all agree here that their offense is awesome.
They spread out the defense to the boundaries of the field as well. They utilize every inch of the field. They really spread out their offense, so the receivers all the way to the boundaries, and they run all sorts of friggin' rub routes and
they run the ball. They run the ball.
Defenders off there, yeah.
They run the ball a lot. And typically with these kind of offenses you do anyways, because you get all that open space in the middle there, you're going to run the ball. And, of course, it also softens you up. But at the end of the day, Kentucky's, like I said, their game plan last year was correct, where you want to really want to run the – I mean, I hate to be the guy doing this, but you kind of want to run the clock down every snap.
Or eat up as much time as humanly possible.
Because Tennessee's trying to get stress on our defense. So if they let our offense score quickly too, that means it puts more stress on our defense as well. So yeah,
we've got to have long, sustained touchdown drives.
Yes.
Touchdown drives. Touchdown drives is realistically what we're gonna be looking at if we want to win.
Oh, I think more than that. 8 to 10. I mean, I think you're more than
because you're looking at their defense is gonna give up big plays. So
oh yeah, they absolutely
realistically, you're not gonna build. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to get those, like, 12-play drives.
Wait, yes. Are you saying – oh, 8 to 10 play drives.
Yeah.
I thought you said 8 to 10 touchdown drives. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just saying, if we don't break the 90s, we probably won't win.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. I will say this about Brad White and his scheme. Last year, he got absolutely torched by Mississippi State, and this year he schemed up a really good plan to obviously stop Mississippi State. Can he do it against Tennessee? Tennessee's going to score, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to score. The thing is can you make Tennessee – can you slow Tennessee up on their scoring? Let them hold onto the ball a little longer. Let them have sustained drives. You would rather have them having sustained drives, and then it gets more towards our pace. See, if you watch the Alabama game, and I was listening to some shows this week, and they made a really good point. Alabama's probably kicking themselves because they allow Tennessee to dictate the pace, and Alabama's usually the one that dictates the pace.
Yeah.
And so, meaning – Alabama usually says, okay, you're going to play our style of football. Instead, Saban and his staff walked right into that trap of like, well, we're going to throw it downfield and score. Because, and Mike made a good point earlier today, was they got Alabama in a situation where they're down 14-0. And now they
got
down
14-0, 21 points. You have to start, you can't run the ball anymore. You have to start throwing the ball and get those
exactly. And they threw it downfield and got back in it because their defense, and then all of a sudden, Alabama's defense is just, yeah. They're getting up big chunks because they're worn out. They're tired.
Yeah. Alabama's scoring a lot, but at the same time, their defense is, you know, they're only getting like 4 plays rest.
Yes.
That's why Tennessee is so aggressive as soon as the game starts. They just want to jump all over people and demoralize them in the first quarter.
Yeah. And then you're playing catch up with a team that scores a shit ton of points.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what you don't want. I mean, Kentucky does not want a shootout. Now, they had a shootout last year, and Kentucky played their pace last year because they had to. Simply the same thing.
I feel like Liam Cohen's offense was built, and he was such a good play caller that he was able to score as many points as we needed to. If Will Levis didn't throw 2 touchdown picks to Tennessee, we were winning that game. If he didn't throw one of those, we were winning that game.
Well, yeah. Kentucky outgained him. I mean, if you just looked at the box score and take away the scores up top, you would think that Kentucky won that game. They outgained them, I think, almost 200 yards. They had 600 total yards of offense. And they held the ball almost the whole game. I mean, for three whole quarters, time possession was theirs. The difference was that turnover that we missed a field goal too. I remember in the game, and then also
missed
that
field goal
six.
And a pick six.
Yeah, that was your 10 points right there. That changed the whole game. Obviously,
we lost by 7. So,
I mean, this is a defense that that gave up 453 yards to Anthony Richardson. So I should tell you something. Anthony Richardson was literally just thrown up. Again, they got Florida to play their style of football. Now, Kentucky could take kind of the tips from Florida's that offense. If you want to beat Tennessee, and I was telling Mike earlier, you got to keep them under 35.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Tennessee and Florida, somewhat did. I think the final score of the game was 38-33. So Florida did keep them under 40. But again, I mean, they're 4 big wins, and this is what I'm going to say about Tennessee. And you know, I love joking with these two guys and telling them how much I think Tennessee's trash and all that shit. But reality is, they're 4 games. They're 4 big wins: LSU, Pittsburgh. I don't even know if Pittsburgh's a big win anymore, but it was on the road.
LSU's not that bad.
LSU, Pittsburgh, Alabama, and what was the fourth one? Florida. So that's their 4 big ones, right, on the season. Pittsburgh, they only outgained by 1 yard. All right, Pittsburgh also lost their starting quarterback in that game. Okay, Florida outgained them, and then so did Alabama. The only team that they've completely dominated both sides of the ball is against LSU. So take their 4 days. I think LSU's in Florida are probably the same talent level. So I think, you know, I think LSU's a decent team. That's a good win.
Yeah. But what I think LSU will be good next year. I don't think this year they're that great under Kelly.
But I think what I'm mostly getting at, and I don't think Boudier played against them, just for what that's worth too. But what I'm getting at is Tennessee could easily be 4-3, 5-2 like we are, but they're not. And there's something to be said about that. They found a way to win all those games. But in my opinion, people are really holding them on a pedestal where if you really break it down, their offense was outgained. This is a dominant offense that's been outgained in two different teams that Florida, you don't think Florida has a better offense than them.
No,
no.
But you mean Alabama's, of course, they got a great offense. I mean, Alabama, they're really the Alabama missed what field goals. And I heard it was a bad, I didn't watch the game at all. Me and Mike were actually into the game.
I watched the first half and Alabama had lots of just stupid penalties.
Well, I'm glad you're watching the first half. I was waiting for you to get here so we weren't late to the game.
Well, yeah, I was I was working, and so what we do at work, you watch football on your phone.
Well, yeah, of course.
Especially when you're about to leave the place.
We did do, Chris, the bus thing. It was actually, Mike, this is the second time Mike's done his first time. I did it. Actually pretty solid. We'll give it to Mike.
The what?
It's you park, so and they take like a bus
yeah,
over.
Yeah, you park at Virginia and Press Avenue, and you take a shuttle for $1. So it's free parking, and then you just pay $1 to take the shuttle to the stadium.
And they drop you off like pretty close. And then on the way back, I'm so drunk, I cut literally everyone and walked to all the front.
Yeah, Nick cut like 100 people.
And walked all the way to the front and said, and gave my $1 and got on the bus. And the guy's like, we're all waiting in line. I'm like, I'm not, you know.
No, that's not your response. Your response was, well, the line starts here now.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Okay.
Oh, well, my
yeah.
God.
The line's here now.
Yeah.
It was very uncomfortable. I'm all for doing shit at like things like going the wrong way in the bathrooms and stuff. But that was kind of uncomfortable.
We're getting off topic here, but Kentucky can really save their season, you know, this weekend. And I think they have a really good opportunity. They're on ESPN national TV. They're on a big conference there. And I think some people think we're going to get blown out. I think Kentucky will show up. I think that last year's game is really, really sad with this team.
Yeah. I really think Brad White's going to come up with a great scheme.
I do too. And maybe we're just hoping that happens, and maybe it won't happen. Cause I can easily see it going the other way. But it's just really, really irritating to have to listen to Tennessee fans nonstop. They're the worst fans in the country. People have been praising them after the Bama. That's what's making me sick at the Bama games. Like, man, I was actually rooting for Tennessee. No, we never root for Tennessee. Their fans, this is what they want to hear. They think that they're the big dog in the hall of college football. They think college football is now
every year
with them every good. Year. College football has gotten better without Tennessee being good. Yeah. We don't need them to be good.
No, so, not at all.
So I just cannot take another loss to them. It's going to be hard. But I mean, it can very well happen. Probably will happen, honestly. But we can all hope, right?
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't either, Mike. I'm gonna pick us too. Don't worry. So yeah. What do y'all think? What do y'all think has to happen if Kentucky's going to win?
Pretty much covered it, man. You have to keep them under 35. I think Chris is saying there's got to be like a lightning delay or something like that, like some act of God. But
yeah, what do you think, Chris?
Almost act of God. that, you know, I said it earlier this week in our little group chat. If you want a chance to beat Tennessee, you have to win the first quarter. So if Kentucky wins, it's because they won the first quarter, they put pressure on Hendon Hooker, and we played the kind of football that Mark Stoops wants to play. We took care of the ball. We had long sustained touchdown drives, got a couple turnovers, had some timely stops on defense, and Will Levis will have to throw like 3 or 4 touchdowns and take care of the ball.
I think I agree with y'all, obviously, on take care of the ball and controlling the clock, playing our style of football. I definitely think we're going to need a couple turnovers. We're going to need some definite pressure on Hendon Hooker. He also has the ability to be able to run around and get big chunks like that and really get them out of third and longs and second and longs. And that's,
yeah, I think that's where not having Jaquez Jones is going to hurt us. I think he's a great spy linebacker.
Yeah. I think you're right on there, but I think Weaver does a pretty good job doing that too.
Wallace does as well.
Wallace is very athletic. Dude. You're right.
I think that our front seven is, I've said this over and over, I think it's the best, some of the best in the country. And now the defensive backs are showing us that they're some of the best in the country too. But this is going to be their first true test. I think Mississippi State, we look great against them, but I think Chris put it in our group text earlier, but I don't think Mississippi State was as good as everyone thought.
No.
I think they played a hell of a game in Arkansas and that kind of boosted them up. And Mississippi State at home is a lot different than Mississippi State on the road too. I think that should be said to that about that as well. Their home field advantage is very, very hard and good. So with that said, I definitely think Kentucky, we can't give up big chunks to them. If they go and have a 20 play drive and score a touchdown, that's a win for Kentucky.
Yeah.
Because you're getting them off their style of play. They want to score under 10 plays. They want to score quickly. They want to score within that 2 minutes. They want to push you. They want to get defensive linemen stuck on the field, getting tired. That's what they want to do. So if you're able to get them
behind the sticks, if they have a 20-play drive, it's still going to serve the same purpose.
Yeah. I mean, you want to get them in long drives. Like okay, so last year they had 14 minutes total offense. Honestly, we probably win the game if they had 23, 24 minutes of total offense because you're slowing them up. And it's getting more towards your style of play. But that's what things got to do. And it's a very, very hard place to play it. I mean, obviously, we've won there once since, what, 84? So they're going to be blackout. Apparently, we don't matter to them, but they always have some sort of T-shirt thing going on. Yeah, some
special uniform.
So apparently, we do matter to them. I don't know. They're wearing these black uniforms for it. And I don't think they've ever wore black uniforms like that.
They look pretty fucking cool, I got to say.
Stop. No, they don't. Stop, Chris. Yeah, Chris, stop. No, they don't. They're
huge uni guy. I'm telling you right now.
No, stop. Did y'all see what uniforms we're wearing?
This is Chris from Knoxville.
Yeah.
Blue, white, and white.
Yeah, blue, white, and white. Last time we wore it, Knoxville 2 years ago. So there you go. There's that combo that they like to wear against them. So
another couple is this game too.
This is gonna be if I will say this about Stoops teams, man, they play a lot better on the road than they do at home. They seem to get up for that kind of atmosphere, but I just don't. I want to believe, and I want to believe that we can scheme up to stop them, but I just feel like we're going to have to score 42 points, and I just don't know if we – and our offensive line didn't give up a sack to Mississippi State, that I can remember. I mean, did they give up anything? Yeah. Does anyone remember?
Mississippi State had one or two sacks.
So, I mean, that's a better, I guess, but – obviously, having a really good running back is helping out the offensive line quite a bit. But I'm going to tell you, Tennessee's going to sit in the house. And Levis is going to have to – Levis against the blitz is actually pretty damn good.
He's one of the best in college football, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so, I think with the – if you want to play their game, I think Barrion Brown has a huge –
I don't want to play their game. I don't want to play their game. I think we're going to get, regardless of what happens, I think Kentucky will get in the 30s. Yeah. But I don't. It's just kind of feeling like Kentucky's got to score 42 points to beat them.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that.
And can the offense hold to the offensive line, I should say, hold out long enough to allow that to happen? Levis does have a tendency to throw interceptions, and you just can't do that against a talented team like them. Can't. Now, I will say this game does have a feel to it, like almost a trap game for Tennessee because they have Georgia next week. It feels like it. We'll say that. But they're going to be ready to play because they did kind of have a bye week last week, too, against Tennessee Martin, who they gave up 24 points to, which is crazy to me. So what are y'all's MVPs, man? Where y'all see this going?
I'm going to go MVP. I think Barrion Brown's going to have a huge game, but I'm going to go with C-Rod. I think he's a difference maker in this game. I think he's probably the only running back that can handle that all-out blitz and still get 5 yards. And then defensively, I'm going to go with it's going to have to be one of the linebackers. I'm going to guess Square. I think he has more discipline to shadow Hooker than the other ones. But I could be wrong on that.
What do you got, Chris?
Ooh, offense has got to be C-Rod or the offensive line. Defense, Jordan Wright has to have a big game in spying Hendon Hooker and looking out for do what?
You think they're going to go Jordan Wright with the QB spy?
That's usually who they put on the quarterbacks, yeah.
He's pretty athletic. I mean, he can do everything, so.
Because that's why. He's got the size and he's got the speed. He's got length.
Length, yeah. I just think you have
to have – He's a smart
– Yeah, he's smart. Player. Yeah, he's got to be somebody with discipline.
Yeah. And he's a veteran guy, so.
Those are the two that have got to do it.
I definitely agree with you all on C-Rod. He has to have a big game. I mean, for us to win, he's probably going to go over 150 yards. And a couple touchdowns, because that would really take the stress off the offensive line too, to be able to get big runs like that. Defensively, I think I'm gonna go with Valentine. I think he's just gonna have to. He's gonna be the one that's gonna be on their best wide receiver, and he cannot give up these big plays. I mean, really, if you really want to break it down, the most important person this weekend is probably Brad White.
Yeah,
it's not so much what our offense can do; it's so much what our defense can do.
Yeah, defense has to get
they've got to make stops.
I think the offense is going to have – I think the offense will get in the 20s and 30s without much problem at all, even with the issues at offensive line. But the defense has to keep them. I'm just saying, and I keep feeling this, they have to be under 35.
Yeah. I think if you you keep them under, 14 in the first quarter, that's a win.
Oh man, they got 14 in the first quarter. I'd be feeling sick. I think less than that too. I think seven. If we go into halftime like Mississippi State 0-0, I'll be feeling really good.
They were about to go 28 points in the first quarter against Bama. Like they were about to score right before first quarter ended against Bama.
Well, and that's the thing is like, again, you have to beat them in the first quarter. But if you do, and you sustain that through the first half, and you are making like. You're making more stops than giving up first downs on third downs. I think that would really start to affect their psyche.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they would start messing with them.
Well, I'm with you on that too. I think that is a big deal too. But really, man, if you just make it hell for Hendon Hooker, I mean, which is very difficult to do because they get the ball out pretty quick. I think that would go a long way as well. He's been good for them, man. He may not be on a lot of call or NFL draft boards, but he's a really good college football player.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, he's a great guy for the system that they run.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I was telling you, man, that their offense is a beast. And I know Chris has been saying it all year long. Of course, I make fun of him for it, but it's true. Their offense is a beast. So you gotta figure out ways to slow them up and get them off the field.
Right.
And because I noticed against Bama too, the little bit that I watched, like Mike did. I was waiting for Mike to pick me up so we wouldn't be late.
We weren't late, just so everybody knows. We weren't late at all.
So it was like they were getting third and twos, third and ones. And we just cannot do that. Just cannot, because then that opens their whole playbook up. Get those short fields. You got to get them behind the sticks. And I listened to another show where they made a good point where Hendon Hooker is like averaging 60 yards a game rushing, and he gets them out of a lot of these third and 17s where they spread the field out and go deep or whatever, and all of a sudden he's running for 17 yards and bails them out, essentially. We can't let that happen.
No.
And that's what you worry about against Florida. We didn't let that happen against Florida. So, no, you know, Florida's – the tone with their quarterback was set pretty early.
Right.
But, I mean, the talent level between Florida and Tennessee right now is a humongous gap. There's a gap between Kentucky and Florida right now in a talent level. But if Kentucky wants to save this season, this is the game. I think if you beat Tennessee and you go 9-3 and lose to Georgia, I think that's still a damn good season.
Well, considering how badly they botched this season.
Yes.
That would be a great recovery.
I mean, South Carolina's ranked now. I still don't think they're very good.
Oh, fuck that. No, they're bad. They are a bad team.
They're ranked now.
They are really fucking bad.
They're not good, dude.
I know. I agree. No, I agree with y'all. But they're ranked now. So, I mean, it's not like we're the only ones, getting beat by them. So, but I'm not absolutely not sugarcoating this year. We should have beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss is not very good either, honestly, if we're really getting down to it. They got smoked by LSU. So we should have won that game. I mean, we had all the mistakes we had. We have played, we are 5-2 pretty much playing D minus football all year. If you really get down to it.
Frustrating.
Yes. Yes, it is. And you don't get a quarterback like Levis here very often. And that's why games like Tennessee and Georgia and getting to a New Year's Six is a big deal to us. So before we get into to kind of the our predictions for the scores and stuff, what would you all grade this season thus far?
Thus far?
I would think a C plus, something like that, because they had beaten two top 25 teams, but the amount of talent we have, I just don't.
That loss to South Carolina is what I can see people getting in the C range.
It's not just that.
It's how they've looked in every single game. Like, especially with how many veterans they have on this team, and you know, you can attribute it to the coaching staff not being like not having a whole lot of continuity or whatever. But it has to be labeled as a disappointment unless they do something crazy and beat Tennessee and Georgia because of the amount of talent you had coming back. Especially on defense, you have maybe the number one ranked player in the draft coming up. You have great receivers. You have really good tight ends. You have really good running backs, and you shit the bed completely.
I agree with everything you just said there because of we have 6 year guys out there.
Yeah.
We have 6 year guys out there that are about to have another 9-3, 8-4. If they go 8-4, I don't see. Like, obviously, I'll support them in the bowl game and stuff, but I don't see how you couldn't label this as a disappointment.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be a disappointing year.
So, you can change the whole outlook of the season by beating Tennessee.
Yep.
And then you feel a lot better about the Georgia game. But if you lose to Tennessee, and particularly lose them bad, then I would say they're probably going to lose to Georgia.
Yeah.
So, that's where you at? But I mean, they did beat Tennessee and Georgia. I mean, where are they at right now in the rankings? Did they go and they went out? Where are they at? You know,
top five.
Yeah, I mean, they would have to be top five.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't have been in the East. But last thing I'll say, and we'll get our MVPs. If they would have beaten South Carolina, where's the spread at this game? Would you feel better, or would you still feel if they would have still looked shitty and still beat South Carolina?
If they would have beat South Carolina, the spread would be the same.
You think so?
I think it would be in the 7 or 8 range.
I agree with Chris on this one, actually, Mike. I think it'd be a lot lower. I think people would be a lot more. I think Tennessee was always going to be favorite, even if Tennessee was 5-2 and we were 7-0, because it's down there, and we traditionally don't beat them, even at home. So to have any kind of notion that we would win down there is, I don't think we'll ever be favorite there unless we win down there for 5 straight times.
Right.
But I just think. I agree with Chris. It'd be closer, and it'd be a single-digit one. But now I think the spread's actually increasing. So, I mean, that is saying that if we beat South Carolina looking crappy, would the game look differently to anyone? I don't know.
I don't think so.
What if we beat Ole Miss and then lost to South Carolina? Is it just the South Carolina game that's got a bad taste all in our mouth?
No.
Final game.
No.
The Ole Miss game, I feel like we're still the better team. That's what pissed me off. I feel like we should beat Ole Miss by double digits.
I think Ole Miss is highly overrated. Highly overrated. They were in the top 10, had no business being there.
Yeah.
I agree.
So and they'll get shown. I mean, they've already been shown against LSU. Alabama's going to stomp them in the ground too.
Yeah.
So.
Again, for me, it's the way Kentucky has looked. Just sloppy.
Just sloppy the whole season.
Our special teams has just not been executed well at all.
Not just the special teams. My God, 16 friggin' penalties at home. Mostly by your offensive line. You've got to be fucking kidding me.
That's horrible. No, that's horrible. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The offensive line has just been – it's rough. And I do think they're getting better, but I don't think there's much more of a ceiling there. I think you're at the ceiling now, and this your best case scenario is only to have 2 or 3 sacks. Don't expect. I wouldn't expect at this point to have no sacks unless it's Vandy or Louisville.
Yeah.
So even Louisville's looking a lot better than they have here recently.
They don't play anybody.
Well, I agree with you on that, but they have looked better than they were at the very beginning. And actually, they got smoked by Syracuse team. Actually, turned out to be pretty decent. But ACC, a 9-3 ACC team is a 5-7 SEC team.
Exactly.
Put that out there too. So all right, let's get our scores. Let's get them over with. Let's hear them.
All right, I think Kentucky wins 35. Nobody saw that coming, huh? 35-33.
Let's hear it, Chris. Let's hear it. Let's hear the stopping.
Tennessee 70, Kentucky nothing.
That would be, oh my God, that would, there'd be, it'd be straight basketball mode now for every fan.
Yeah. It would. I would even do that reluctantly. I think it's going to be like 38-14 Tennessee.
Man. You don't think Kentucky get more than 14 points?
I think they're going to make it a point to beat the holy shit out of Kentucky.
I think they get an opportunity to do that. They will. I think they'll run the score up on us. They run the score up on everybody. So I think they would absolutely have a – and that to think that they – that we are going there recruiting in their state, they're going to stomp us out if they can.
And to me, the biggest reason for that is of how bad Kentucky plays after a bye week.
Well, I don't disagree with you on that either. God, that's a good point. God, I always forget about that until they come out after that first drive, and I'm like, bye week Stoops back.
Yeah.
It's like, how could a team be so – I mean, it's literally every year after a bye week, they look so bad.
Yeah, it's –
like just sleepwalking
something like Jesus Christ.
Can we just get like a Vandy after a bye week so we can kind of, you know, get back in the flow of things? But
no, because you know how bad a Vandy loss looks compared to a Tennessee loss.
Good point. I think they're gonna win. I do. I don't know why I just feel it. I think it's gonna be 31 Tennessee, 35 Kentucky, and I don't know why I feel like it is. I just feel it. And it's just because their fans have been so fucking loud. I know they're loud every fucking year, but they've been so loud. They're calling us bums. They're doing this, that. And it just feels like
– it's going to feel nice to watch them cry.
Well, it's not just that. It just feels like Kentucky or Tennessee is just – they're pissing off the football gods by talking so much shit.
Yeah.
They're making fun of coal miners. I mean, we're getting the nasty stuff with Tennessee now.
That's all they do.
Even though Tennessee has like a ton of coal mines, I don't.
They're going to throw the trash on the field this game. I'm going to go ahead and call it. The fans will throw trash on the field during this game.
I mean, it's wild. It's wild to see. Well, here's the other question. Will they storm the field on a 5-2 team?
No.
I don't know. Don't think either.
They'll find a way to make themselves look terrible, but they won't storm the field.
Their fans are terrible. We should not be. No one should be celebrating this team, their team at all. Their fans are horrible. I don't care.
Worst people in the entire world.
There people are talking to them like, oh, we haven't seen you in a while. We're so glad you're back. No. Kentucky needs to end that this week. They end that this weekend. It'd be extremely funny. I mean, it would be really, really funny if we did that.
Nick, how many bookmark comments have you said?
Oh, a ton. And the thing is, no, they're all trying to crush me. I'm actually, this is the one team. This is sad because I just know it. This is the one team I kind of keep quiet because, I mean, what can you say? I mean, what can you say? Yeah,
it's really hard to run your mouth to them.
We can run our mouths to them in basketball, even though they've been beating us, because their history compared to our history, I mean, come on. But like,
and they have a better X and O coach.
Their football, though, is like, I mean, dude, did you all see? They were showing a picture of the barrel, and like Kentucky has like this little section on there, and then the rest
it's all orange.
It's just like, come on. It's got to stop, man. It's got to stop somewhere.
It really shouldn't be a rivalry, to be honest with you.
I mean, it's sad because it's like that. It's because Kentucky just did not take football serious for so long.
Oh, no.
And if we played them two times a year, we would have as many as football victories as they do the basketball, because I think if they played them again last year, they probably would have won. You know what I mean? Like, it was just kind of one of those 50-50 games type of things. But Kentucky has got to show up and play this week and act like this is their season. I mean, this is their season. I know there's a lot of seasons. There's a lot of games left. Missouri, you know, obviously Vandy, UofL, and Georgia. But this is their season.
Yeah. No, if you want to salvage the season, this is a must win.
You have to. You have to win this game. You can't. You got to forget all the Tennessee garbage and go out here and play. I think Kentucky's more than capable of winning. Especially on the defensive side of the ball. I think we have good enough defense to be able to do something, but you have to, man.
Yeah.
So they beat Tennessee. You all Do you all feel better, or are you still waiting for the Georgia win?
I feel better.
Considering how they're going to have to play to have a chance to beat, if they play that way, you got to feel better.
Yeah. No, I mean, if we win this game, it's going to give everybody a whole lot of hope again.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I agree. But and also, I think we go to Missouri next week, don't we? And
yeah.
We last time we played a noon game in Missouri was this total, we stomped them out. So let's put that out there. I'm feeling good about it. I mean, I'm nervous about it, obviously. It's really hard to take that Tennessee loss every year and their fans. God, right. It's just so terrible. That is just, it's to think we have like a, 3-30 record against them, bless. 30 some meetings is just like, God, how is that possible?
It's not to make you sick, man.
It really does. I mean, we're at the point now where we don't have to worry about the Florida one, but Tennessee's still beating us. And Tennessee's been worse than Florida the last 5 years. Not really last year, but the year before. It's just, but Tennessee's also dropping records left and right. They're bad records. Like, I think they lost to Bama with 12 straight times, and then Florida was another one they lost a bunch of times too. So, and they've had all their hard games at home too, by the way.
Yeah,
They haven't played a single, like, I know Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh just got smoked by Louisville. So how good are they really? So they haven't really played a single hard game on the road. And on top of that, and I don't mean to be the conspiracy theorist here, but I think college football wants Tennessee and Bama in the SEC championship game. They want that game again.
Oh, they absolutely do.
I don't know if I don't know if they'll be one of those things where they stop. They'll make sure that Kentucky doesn't beat them.
We are not going to get a single. Don't even think about getting a single. Don't nobody get mad during the game. Just go into it expecting that we are not going to get a call.
I hate to be the guy, but I agree with you on that. I just think that that's just the way it is, because there are certain teams that they want to be good. And Tennessee is one of those teams because of their obnoxious fan base. So, well, I guess we'll get off here and pray that a Hail Mary happens this week and we win. It'd be great. I definitely think we have a chance. Better chance than people are giving us.
Pretty confident. I don't know why you guys are so worried.
Did you get the I should take the spread at an alternate version at like 7.5 for Kentucky.
Oh, 7.5? Why so low?
Yeah, I mean, if you think Kentucky's going to win, why not take them at 3?
Right.
Minus 3.
Yeah, really. Who cares about losing money?
Well, losing money, I put the mortgage on.
Yeah. I'm going to double that shit.
Right.
So I guess I'm off here, man. I'll go Cats, and I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chris. Go Big Blue.
Go Cats.